previously on Coffee with Kenobi.
Yeah, I think
so. It might be something like that.
Right.
So when I first saw the whole Canto Bite thing in, was it Vanity Fair?
Yes.
My first reaction was, oh, here we go again. This is Maz Kanata's castle. We've been here. Don't get too used to all these aliens, because we may just see them in the background. And that's it. But I am excited about the porgs.
This is James Arnold Taylor, and you're listening to Coffee with Kenobi. I have a good feeling about this.
Hello and welcome to show number 87 of Coffee with Kenobi, your spoiler-free place for Star Wars discussion, analysis, and rhetoric. I'm your host, Dan Z, drinking out of my 40th anniversary black and red coffee mug, and very much looking forward to discussing and analyzing Star Wars with each of you. Welcome to all of our CWK family members, both new and old. Thank you for joining me for some coffee and Star Wars conversation. We hope to make you think about Star Wars in a whole new way, and maybe laugh a little bit in the process. On today's show, we will discuss Leia Organa and how she has evolved over the last few years. Jason Brame talks Star Wars canon. CWK newsman Tom Gross will bring us the latest Star Wars news, including dates for Season 4 of Star Wars Rebels. And in the coffee chat, Nick Deco shares some conversation on Star Wars video games. So pull up a chair, grab your favorite coffee mug, and let's have some coffee with Kenobi.
And now, let's see what's brewing in the Star Wars universe this week.
One of the biggest challenges for me as a Star Wars fan is finding the time to enjoy all this amazing Star Wars content that is out there. For instance, when Force Friday debuted, of course, we got the Leia novel as well as the Phasma novel. And I have not finished with either of them yet, so I kind of thought, why don't we try this? Why don't we, at the beginning of each of these shows, maybe discuss briefly a few chapters of each of the novels, and you could join along with me. So many of you have already finished a novel. Many of you are maybe in a place where I'm at right now. I will read chapter 1 of Leia this week, and then for next week's show, we'll have a bit of a conversation about it, and we can read along together. That way, we're not going to spoil it, and I think it should be a lot of fun. So that's a way to do it. So as we get closer to The Last Jedi, we'll have all of our Star Wars homework all caught up. If you have not gotten the latest Smuggler's Bounty, the Jedi theme is the box I'm talking about. I got mine today, and wow, it is fantastic. I will not spoil what it is, but the Jedi theme is quite great for our podcast. The t-shirt that comes with it may be the very best t-shirt that Funko has provided for the Smuggler's Bounty. Really, really like it. And there's another little goodie in there as well. So once that comes out and people have seen it, we'll talk about it in a little more detail, share some stuff on Instagram and on our Insta story. Another wonderful thing, I want to thank Target for sending the Red Stormtrooper Funko exclusive. It is a Red Card exclusive that's going to be available on October 1st. Be sure to check out Instagram and Twitter for some pictures of that. It's a really, really neat looking Funko. And of course, exclusives are always fun. And that red armor, which is normally white for a Stormtrooper, is cool. So big thanks to Target for sending that our way. Joining us today for a cup of coffee is Coffee with Kenobi's feature blogger, Ms. Melinda Wolf. Hello, Melinda.
Hey, Dan. How are you doing?
I am great. I am excited. Of course, you and I have chatted many times, but you've never actually been on Coffee with Kenobi. You're certainly a veteran of Rebels Reactions, as we've discussed before, but it's so nice to have a chat with you here in the studios.
I know, I'm really excited about this.
Well, good, and I hope that you won't be shy about your opinions. Hey, we wouldn't have it any other way. It's wonderful to have you. Also wonderful to have one of the contributors to Unmistakably Star Wars, Amy Nalen. Hello, Amy.
Hi, Dan. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, it's great to have you. You have been a great supporter of our show for so long, and you did, of course, did the review for our website of the Leia book, Princess of Alderaan, and that is a perfect thing. I know, Melinda, you also were a big fan of Leia. I want to talk about her evolution the past couple of years since the Disney takeover. Of course, there's been much more Star Wars material, a lot of stuff in the comics and the novels. Bloodline comes to mind, and then, of course, with the recent Leia novel. She's become much more, I guess complex might be the fair word. And I want to hear what the two of you have to say. I mean, obviously, she's the princess that does need to be rescued, but I've always kind of felt that after A New Hope, her arc and her character kind of regressed a bit in The Empire Strikes Back, and it came back a little bit in Jedi, but not to the level it was in A New Hope. What do the two of you think?
I don't know. I think in A New Hope, Leia has a, you know, like princess that doesn't need rescuing. I think in Empire, we see her as, we get to see kind of a different side of her where she finally, you know, the softer side where she finally admits and acknowledges her feelings for Han. And then I think it's in Jedi more where she kind of just fades to the background in between, you know, Luke's completion of his journey and the redemption of Anakin. So I will admit the Leia that I resonate most with is like the Force Awakens Leia, the Leia that's just lost everything and continued to do her duty and persevere. I think the books have really added to my understanding and appreciation for her character. And I feel like especially Claudia Gray just completely nails her voice. Everything that she writes, that she has Leia thinking and doing, just feels really genuine to me.
Well, Leia, what about you? Very well said, Amy, by the way. I couldn't agree more. Claudia Gray absolutely channels Carrie Fisher.
One thing that I really, I don't think that Leia fades into the background as much as, say, Padme did in the prequel trilogy, which really bothered me a lot, but I know we're not talking about her tonight. In The Empire Strikes Back, I think we do, as Amy said, see a softer side, but I think it's more, dare I say, human in a way. You see Leia struggling with her emotions a little bit more. And in Return of the Jedi, just like in it, what was it? The Revenge of the Sith, I'm sorry. That film was really about Anakin, and everybody else faded into the background mostly, except for maybe Obi-Wan. And in Return of the Jedi, it just basically mirrored, or I should say Revenge of the Sith mirrored Return of the Jedi, and the other characters faded into the background a little bit so that Luke could complete his journey to becoming a full-fledged Jedi.
That's true. I like that you both say that the human aspect of her, I guess that's something that I see. Here's how this came up in a mythology class that I'm teaching this year. We've been talking a lot and seeing how there's so much sexism in older mythology, and even in current stories, there's still so much sexism that exists. And I like to point to Leia as the example where she's not the damsel in distress, but in The Empire Strikes Back, it's harder to make that argument. And, and you're right about the human side for sure. And she's allowing her, as you said, Amy, her softer side to kind of letting her guard down for maybe the first time in her life. So that does make sense.
I think one thing that's interesting that I have thought about before, but not in the same way, and I'll cross a little bit here, so bear with me, but with the Wonder Woman movie that came out this summer, we got to see a character who had, like, not just the physical prowess and, you know, kicking butt and being a warrior, but she also had a softer side where she had romantic feelings and she had compassion and empathy, and like she got to be everything. And so I think I like that aspect of Leia in Empire Strikes Back, and that she's not just barking orders and into the garbage chute, flyboy. She gets to add depth to her character that way. And no, she doesn't have to have romantic feelings, but she chooses to. And so I think that adds depth to her there.
And I agree. Like, big time. And Leia, while she's not my very favorite Star Wars character, she's definitely in the top five. So I think she's the first really, really strong, not the only, because there certainly were strong female characters before her. But Leia had a feistiness and a command of herself where then she could command and lead others. That just made her such an incredible female character. And it was about time that cinema came around to showcasing up on the screen what women could do all the while, really.
Oh, absolutely. She's very much a pioneer in 1977 in that regard. And Amy, you mentioned The Force Awakens, and Melinda, I'd love to hear your take as well. What did seeing Leia again in The Force Awakens, of course the nostalgia is there, but as far as her character itself, how did she add more depth in that film? Or maybe that depth so much is more nuance to her.
You go first, Melinda.
Well, thank you. But no, that's okay. No, as far as Leia's character in The Force Awakens was concerned, I really like the fact that she was still in a command position. She put the well-being of others before herself. But there's so much more to her. You know, what has happened in the last 20 years, I'd really like, and I know there have been a couple of novels, but I mean, that it would be wonderful to, I'm really looking forward to The Last Jedi, because I'm hoping that Leia's character is going to be fleshed out a lot more, because I think it needs to be, even though it really is Rey's story and that dark side person who I won't even go there. So.
He will not be named. That's another franchise. Well, I mean, the fact, yes, she becomes a general. When we had Dr. Roberta Triton, she talked about the fact that Leia has become a general and a leader, and she always was, but now it's become much more official. Her reactions to the people around her, her vulnerability, and she's still got that wonderful biting sense of humor, too.
No kidding.
I think in The Force Awakens, like, Leia's presence there was amazing, because like you said, not only is she the leader, but when we go back, like, there was not a lot of political context to The Force Awakens at the time that we saw it, but knowing what we know now with the different materials that have come out, you know, we realize everything she's gone through, you know, in addition to all the losses we've seen her before, she's lost her son, you know, she's lost her reputation and her political standing, and she's still just fighting. She's still going on, and she's still doing the right thing. And, you know, if, like, I could completely understand if at that point in time she was just like, I've done this already. I've been on this carousel. I'm done. Someone else take over. But she just keeps going. And that determination and fierceness in her is just something that I find so amazing, and that adds so much. And, you know, let's be honest, it's really amazing to see a woman that age on a movie screen. We don't get to do it very often. And so it's just great to see that strength and that kind of womanhood represented.
No kidding. Hear, hear.
Absolutely. Listen, if the two of you are auditioning to be permanent co-hosts, I think you're doing a really good job. So before I move on to the next segment, I do want to give a quick mention to Bloodline. To me, still my very favorite canonical Star Wars novel. The scene when everyone discovers Leia's biological father and her fall from grace there, and how she handles that is amazing and very compelling. And as you both said, she's the kind of person that you just gravitate towards her, and she's the kind of character that we hope to see much, much more of. So with that, we're going to take our first break, and Jason Brame will join us. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
This is Coffee with Kenobi. Oh, pass the cream, would you?
Coffee with Kenobi is sponsored by the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps. If you love Star Wars and love the excitement of chasing your favorite Star Wars collectibles, the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps is for you. Download the free app from iTunes or Google Play and collect your favorite images from the classic 1977 Star Wars cards to The Clone Wars, Star Wars Rebels, The Force Awakens, Rogue One, and now The Last Jedi. Collect and trade with friends new and old through the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps. These are the cards you're looking for. I want to take this moment to thank our CWK Patreon contributors, including Jason Hall, Dennis Keithley, Angela Souse, Aaron Harris, Brian McKinney, Mediocre Jedi, Connie Shee, Terry Lee, BJ Smith, Nick Deco, Adam Leonard, Jim Capron, Mark Suter, Mike Audette, Eric Struthers, Jared Cantor, Swara Sala, and Christo Hayding. Our Patreon page is a way for you to help us out with our show expenses, including the RSS feed, which is how we distribute our show to so many podcast channels and formats. It helps us host our webpage and upkeep and travel for the show. There's a lot that goes into making a weekly Star Wars podcast, and we couldn't do it without your help. Donate anywhere from a dollar all the way up to wherever you feel the Force is calling you. And the incentives are really awesome as we go along. $5, you get recognition at the start of each show, a follow on Twitter. And then from that point on, we have a new feature called the Discord app. It's a way to chat with us on Coffee with Kenobi and with your fellow Patreon contributors. Last time when we talked about this, for $35 or more, you were able to start your own Discord channel chat. But we have changed that. Now, if you donate $10 or more, you are a part of the Discord feature. And it's really, really exciting. A lot of people are getting a part of that. We are posting our Force Friday gets, talking about the Star Wars Rebels Season 4 trailer and much more. There are a lot of wonderful things. In addition to that, you can get a CWK coffee mug, a t-shirt, or get a chance to host the show with me for one, two, or four times in 1 month. So be sure to check out the CWK Patreon page for more information and details. Jason Brandt joins us. Jason has some great stuff to talk about, as I mentioned, Force Friday, Phasma, and Leia. Jason, what do you have for us?
Well, of course, as far as Star Wars storytelling goes, Force Friday, everybody was looking at Leia. Everybody was looking at Phasma as the two books to go glean some new canon knowledge. But for those of us who are a little bit more on the completionist side, there was one other book that was released on that day that may be geared towards let's just say the very young readers. BB-8 on the Run, which is an adorable little children's book illustrated by Matt Myers and written by Drew Daywalt. And it's beautiful because all the illustrations were done with watercolor. But it's a cute little tale that tells us what happened between BB-8 after he left Poe up until he found Rey. And I think we get a little glimpse into BB-8's personality in the Force Awakens, but this kind of really shows us the heart of this little droid. And I think it's definitely something that you don't want to miss, especially if you have children. It's a great book to read with them because it is very acceptable. And it introduces a new droid character, which I think is also fun for everybody to experience.
It almost kind of takes a bit of a Wall-E angle, I think.
It does, yeah, because you're looking at essentially it's the main characters are two droids who have kind of got this bonded friendship, one sacrificing for the other. It's really cool, and it's basically saying if BB-8 had not met this character, he probably would have never met Rey, which is awesome.
And that also kind of leads right into the very first episode of Forces of Destiny, too, doesn't it?
Yeah, because of course once that happens, that's filling in all the gaps. Once Rey meets BB-8, and of course, what happens to him in those instances. So I really think it's nice that they start filling in some of these details, and I always have appreciated their new attention to giving some canon nuggets all across the genres, all across the age ranges, and this is just a prime example of that.
It is. I was very fortunate. Disney sent me this in the middle of the summer. This kind of preview, and I read it with my son, and he just went wild over it because, like you said, it is a beautiful book. But I want to ask you, you brought up something that kind of piqued my interest. BB-8 goes through so much between when he leaves Poe and when he meets Rey. How much is too much background story? Can't he just have some time where he's just going across the desert all on his lonesome? Or do you think that we ever get into that territory where we have too much information?
Oh, that's a great question. I think for those of us who like to consume these stories, I think there is an element of storytelling that you always want to be happening, right? So, I mean, the way they've been telling these stories and kind of in some instances almost shoehorning narratives into places where maybe they fit, maybe they don't. I mean, there's always a sense of how much time has passed. We actually have no idea. You know, there are elements in the films that we feel like are sequential, but then we can get some backstory or some history to find out that, well, it actually took them quite some time to traverse from Tatooine to the Death Star. Maybe there was a few hours in there. I mean, obviously Luke learned how to use the lightsaber pretty quickly. So, you know, there's these time gaps that I don't think we perceive as consumers of the story sometimes. And it takes stories like this to make us realize, well, maybe there was more than just a few minutes or maybe a few hours. Maybe there were a couple days BB was wandering in the desert by himself.
That's a good point. And I think they have mentioned many times, Pablo especially, that the time thing is just something they don't let themselves get too bogged down in. They obviously have an order to things, but as far as hours and minutes, then it gets to be a little bit pedantic. Ladies, what do you think? Is there ever a situation where we have too much story and too much information?
That's a toughie, because I love to read the books because I just, like, I soak them up as fast as they come out, or I try to if I have the time, and I want to know more. But then, like Jason even said, sometimes it's too much information takes away from, I know this might sound odd, but almost like the magic of just being able to conjure something up in your own imagination. And
I think that's exactly my point. I totally agree. That's not odd at all. There's something to be said for the ambiguity and kind of filling the gaps on your own.
I think that would. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, no, Amy.
Please finish what you were going to say, Melinda.
Oh, I was just going to say that was part of. That's something that I think that has always been one of the greatest facets or aspects of Star Wars is the. When that movie hit the screens in 77, because I was an adult and that's how old I am. So, and I saw it back then, but just grabbing the imagination and encouraging people to stretch their minds and think of the impossible and use their imaginations. And sometimes if you basically spoon feed everything to everybody, if you don't use it, you lose it, you know, basically. So there's just been so much coming out in the last couple of years that it wouldn't bother me if Disney slowed down a little bit. So that's my take.
Yeah, I think that's, I agree with both of what you're saying. It does. Sometimes it feels like we have this like embarrassment of riches when there's so many stories coming out. But I think something we need to remember is that the vast majority of people out there aren't consuming Star Wars the way we are. So they're not listening to the podcasts or doing the podcasts and reading all the comics and all the books and watching all the shorts and reading all the children's books. And so I think that like they're going to keep producing a lot and a wider variety so that they can reach all kinds of demographics. And it may get to a point where, you know, us kind of avid super fans or people that are completionists are going to have to either accept that there are going to be either like there's going to be stuff that we don't necessarily like, or it's going to be answered. We're going to find something out maybe we didn't want to know, or it's going to be something that we didn't necessarily like. Like, oh, I always wanted the answer to that question, but I don't really like what they've done. So I don't know. I think there is a chance we can know too much for our own good, but then there's also good things about it. Like I read the Leia novel right away. I binged it the day it came out. And now my husband is reading it. And like, he's reading it because I said it was a good story and he's interested in it and he wants to talk to me about it. But like what he is getting out of it is not what I necessarily got out of it, because I've invested the time and I know kind of Claudia Gray's writing style and some of the other books, I'm picking things up out of it. Whereas he's enjoying a good story, but it's not the same. And that's not to say that his experience is less or not as good. It's just different. And so there's good things about consuming all of it and there's bad things about consuming all of it. I think we make it, I don't know. It's such a huge universe.
It is. Basically, it's it's a marketing thing too. Of course, Disney's throwing a huge Star Wars net. And as you said, not everyone consumes every single thing. So the people who are very casual to very interested fans If they pick up something like this, and it's could be a game changer for them and be a kind of a gateway to new sides of the canon. And that's one of the reasons, Jason, why we love having you on so often, because this is your wheelhouse. And as long as, to me, it's as long as we're telling a story that is good, that needs to be told, that adds to the mythology, then I'm all for it. And what else did you want to talk about with us today?
Well, I generally leave the comics up to our friends over at Comics with Kenobi, but a new set of comics has recently come out through IDW. So this is not Marvel. This is a different comic producer. And they are producing a series called Star Wars Adventures, which is very exciting. And it is geared, again, towards a younger audience. When they announced this at Star Wars Celebration, they really talked about this being a way for us to bring younger readers into the comic genre, the comic medium. And it gives them a chance, another way for them to tell those small stories. Two issues have come out. One actually came out today as we record, issue two. Yeah, so they're both great. Both of them have two short stories in them. The one of them is actually a two-parter, telling the story of a Rey story prior to The Force Awakens, basically her and Unkar, and kind of giving a little bit of back history into their relationship and kind of what that looked like. But for me, from a kind of a canon junkie standpoint, the true gem in both of these issues is a set called Tales from Wild Space, which is really interesting because they've taken, and I guess this is a way of saying, here's a kind of a entryway into Star Wars that very few people out there probably have, but this may be their Star Wars, is the Adventures in Wild Space books by Tom Huddle and Kevin Scott. They were originally published in the UK. Now they're working on this comic series, and they've actually taken the grandson of one of the characters in that comic and used him as a storyteller to tell other parts of the story. So it's really bizarre. We're actually kind of taking some really out there characters, getting them in a comic book, and then using them to tell stories. So he tells an Obi-Wan story from the Clone Wars era, and then today he told a kind of just when the Empire finally came to Yavin 4 after the Death Star blew up, kind of that evacuation story. And in that, they tied in Evan Yvonne from the Princess Leia comic series. So it's like,
wow,
connecting all these dots in the that's really designed for like 8-year-olds.
Incredibly, incredibly cool. I think this has been addressed already, but for those of us who have not maybe heard it, but the IDW series is also canon, or is it kind of ambiguous?
As far as I'm aware, it is completely canon and supported by the story group. I'm actually flipping through it right now to see if there is story group credits on here.
That's what I had heard too, is that it was canon.
I think
so.
They said it at Celebration. In fact, I'm 99.9% sure it is, as K2SO might say. So I think that's the art is just so fun and engaging. It kind of reminds me not of Archie comics per se, but that sort of style when the different Archie comics would have different adventure tales. And it's just, it's great fun. It's a wonderful, wonderful addition to them, to the comic books. And I just can't get enough of them.
Mm-hmm. I feel the same way. I love these so much. Like, both Wednesdays they've come out, we've picked it up that day, and then I've had the best time after school reading it out loud with my kids. And today, awesome, when we finished it, my oldest said, "That was so satisfying." And I was just like, yes, it was. It was just the best time. And like you said, the art's amazing, the story. And I kind of, like you said, those Adventures in Wild Space supplements are so fun and quirky. Mm-hmm. It's like, I know it's for kids, but like, I love this comic so much. I'm so excited that they're making it.
I just need to quit my day job. I don't know how. I need to read all this stuff.
Yeah, and James Wall and Matt Martin are credited from the story group. So,
oh, cool.
They are involved in the creation,
Matt,
in some
is
respects.
One busy guy. My goodness.
Right. he gets all the ancillary tangential stuff that it seems these days.
He does. I'll never forget. His first credit was in the Kanan comic. I forget which issue, but that. He's a great guy, so that's so cool. You want to talk about Destiny, too.
I do. So kind of a guilty pleasure of mine, actually inspired by Dan in such a way, have created a very Coffee with Kenobi-like media company surrounding Star Wars Destiny, which is a Star Wars card game kind of in the vein of, for anybody who's kind of aware of like games like Magic the Gathering or Pokemon or Yu-Gi-Oh! This kind of is introduced to the genre. There's a company out there called Fantasy Flight Games who owns the Star Wars license for tabletop gaming, and they've created all sorts of games over the year. X-Wing Armada. They had a card game that is kind of waning in popularity right now, but about this time last year, almost the 1 year anniversary of a game called Star Wars Destiny, which is a Star Wars card and dice game. You essentially have these cards and a set of dice that go with them, and you pick two or three characters. And you essentially battle them out between your opponent. And sometimes they're very thematic, like you could have you could have Kylo Ren and Captain Phasma on a team battling Rey and Finn. Or they can be kind of odd, like right now one of the kind of reigning decks out there is a Thrawn Unkar pairing, which is totally non-canonical, but super fun. And
it's like peanut butter and a pickle sandwich, though, too.
Right. So it's a very fun, addictive game. I guess what kind of brings it to the story here is that with Force Friday, they released a two-player box that actually made it into Target. So up until now, this game was only available at like hobby shops and game stores. But if you go into your local Target now, you can pick up basically a starter box for Star Wars Destiny. You get a light side deck and a dark side deck, or heroes and villains, as they like to call it. And it's gives you they're built in such a way that they're teachable. It does take there's a bit of a learning curve, but it is accessible to all ages. We hear fathers playing with their kids. We hear lots of families getting together playing this game, but it's also a game that's bred quite a large competitive scene too. So there's world championships and nationals. My group just got back from the national championship live streaming a lot of their games. So there's this competitive element too, if you're into that scene. And if you're near any sort of a comic book or hobby shop, there's pretty good chance they are holding semi-regular events for this game. What I really like about it is this: their first game post it's basically their first Star Wars game post canon, right? So right. Before they kind of could do whatever they wanted, but now they are under the guise of a marketing rep who does to some extent have to report to the story group. So all their characters and all their content has to be approved or storyline consistent. And what I've loved about the designers is that they're huge Star Wars fans. So they're bringing in a lot of stuff into this game that really, if you're a big Star Wars fan, you can really appreciate. It's like the most recent expansion set that came out includes Sienna Ree from Lost Stars. Wow. It includes so Thrawn, cool. Rebels. It includes Cad Bane from the Clone Wars, but also includes fan favorites like Lando Calrissian, Ahsoka Tano. And these are characters that you can play, and you can upgrade them with weapons, and you can have these abilities. There's even a card in this last set called All Will Be Mine, which is a reference to issue number 6 of Darth Vader, when he finally realizes that he's got the son, and he has this statement that the universe will be his. And it's cool that they're aware enough of what's going on that they bring these elements to the game. So like, I don't want to say the word super fan, but people who are really invested in this genre can really appreciate it. And we actually have, our group has about 25 people creating content. And there are some people in our group who are gamers who are now Star Wars fans because of this game. So I didn't think there were people out there who weren't Star Wars fans, but, There are people who are learning more and want to read the books. There are people like, who's Sienna Ree? I was like, well, let me tell you who Sienna Ree is. She's got one of the greatest stories that's been told in the current universe. So I think it's really awesome. And actually, their art of Sienna Ree is the official look reference for that character, because they were the first ones to commission a piece about her.
That's right. And well, thank you for your kind words about you creating your incredible work with Destiny, so I really appreciate that. And if your goal, by the way, is for me to spend money, I think it's working. Because I saw this at Target, and I thought of you right away, and we talked about it briefly. But this is the thing I'm wondering. If someone wants to get into this, is this the kind of thing where you have to get lucky and find specific cards or spend more money to get them on the secondary market, or are you pretty much guaranteed if you buy a pack, you're going to get the cards you need?
That is the trick, right? So it is a customizable card game. So there is the element and it's a marketing strategy of generating revenue to kind of go find the ones you want. So if you're looking to play casually with some friends, get a starter set and a few booster packs, and you are you're good to go. And you can learn the game, you can play and have fun. If you are interested in kind of getting into that competitive scene, then you will most likely be putting down a few more dollars to procure the cards that you would like to make sure that you are you maintain competitiveness. I don't want to say how much money I've put into this game, but my wife, who is not a gamer at all, she's never. I mean, never been in video games, never been into anything more than Monopoly, is the one who's encouraging me to buy more. Like, she is so into this as much as I am. It's actually pretty incredible, and I'm very lucky to that aspect, because I don't think I would be able to be as invested without her support. So that shows me that this game does have an appeal beyond. And she's actually competed at the national events with me. You know, neither of us do very well, but we have fun. So that's, and we meet new people, and you know, we got a whole bunch of new friends because of it.
See, in the trade, that's what you call a keeper. That's pretty awesome. That's really,
yeah,
really fun.
That's what I keep saying.
Oh man. Well, that's great. I really appreciate you adding that to your segment. I definitely want to talk about this more. Maybe between now and next month when we have you back on, I will have purchased a set. I don't know. Depends on where I'm going to put it in the office. That's always a trick. Jason, thank you, as always, so much. Where can people get in touch with you if they want to ask you a question or just say hello?
Yeah, you can. Best way is to reach out to me on Twitter. I'm at Star Wars TCE. And if you're interested in Destiny, you can check out our site, thechancecube.com. Yes, just like Watto. And you can listen to our podcast. You can read our articles if you're interested in more. You can reach out to me through our Facebook page. And we're happy to talk this game or anything about Star Wars.
When every time Jason has a new show, The Chance Cube, we do advertise that on Coffee with Kenobi, so you will make sure not to miss a single one. Jason, thanks again for this, and when we come back, Tom will be here with us to do the news. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Greetings, this is Obi-Wan Kenobi, and you're listening to Coffee with Kenobi.
The Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app features incredible images from many aspects of the saga, including the original trilogy, the prequels, The Clone Wars, Rebels, The Force Awakens, and Rogue One. It's the quality you have come to expect from Topps. It's also easy to get into, and really fun, too. Your favorite Star Wars characters, scenes, and moments are in every pack. To get started, download the app for free from iTunes or Google Play, and then be sure to open the app each day for free credits to spend on card packs from the Cantina. Plus, if you can't get what you're looking for, there's a place to trade with your friends as you complete your Star Wars collection. And if you're an experienced collector, there are exclusive cards, special inserts, and autograph opportunities for you to enjoy. Don't worry about missing the cards and sets you want either, as you can sign up for notifications right on the app. The Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app from Topps can be downloaded for free from iTunes or Google Play. Be sure to download the app and start your collection today. The Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app from Topps is available now. And remember, these are the cards you're looking for.
Time for some news on Coffee with Kenobi, and that means the one and only Tom Gross is back. And Tom, big news, we got an update from Lucasfilm today about Season 4 of Rebels. What did we find out?
Absolutely. Well, Star Wars Rebels returns, as you mentioned, for its fourth and final season. It's October 16th, and this week, StarWars.com released the air times and episode titles for the first half of the season through November 13th. It will be an all-night and all-day affair on Mondays in late October and early November, as back-to-back episodes will air five times on Disney XD at 12:30 a.m., 3 o'clock in the morning, and 7:30 a.m., as well as resuming at 5:30 that evening and 9 o'clock that night. By doubling up episodes, that means each week there will be a 60 minutes of new Rebels story. It appears that Sabine will be up first for a look at Mandalore in a two-part episode titled Heroes of Mandalore. Other episode titles include In the Name of the Rebellion, The Occupation, Flight of the Defender, Kindred, Crawler Commandeers, and concluding the first half of the season on November 13th with an episode titled Rebel Assault. The season will take a holiday break and resume in early 2018 with episodes leading up to the top secret final episode of Star Wars Rebels.
Well, as we predicted, they're going to split them up, and I am glad for that. But these times are a bit, they're unique. I would even venture to say that they are a bit odd. They're certainly covering all of the time zones because Star Wars Rebels fans are worldwide, as are Star Wars fans in general. But I gotta say, this is a bit of a different step. What do you all think about this?
Well, I think that if this wasn't the final season, I would feel like they were trying to kill it because yes. It just seems really odd. Now, I feel really like disappointed for people who are really anti-spoiler because I feel like it's going to be very difficult to not get spoiled on the episodes, and so. And then I don't know, like, I know it's airing in the U.S. at those times, but I don't know if our friends across the pond or elsewhere in the world will get it at the same time. So I don't know. It's odd. I don't, with Rebels and with like Freemaker Adventures, and we don't have cable. So we've cut the cord and I buy my things, like those shows digitally to watch them. And so I always get them later anyway, but you know, it's just odd. The viewing, the schedule that they have, it makes no sense to me. So I just, I don't know.
Am I right that when you said the first airing is 12:30, like 12:30 at night?
Yes. So
in the middle of the night.
So this is for vampires, I guess. I don't understand why it's coming out so incredibly late. I guess we could just ask or see what people are saying online, but what do you think, Melinda?
Well, I'm a purist, and I know people have DVRs and everything, mm-hmm. but I like my favorite shows to be on at one specific hour every week, and to watch it then or record it then and watch it another, later if I can't get to it at that particular time. So, and I am one of those people who don't like spoilers, and I know I will not be able to sit down and watch Rebels until later at night because I have a busy schedule.
That's right.
And so I have to go on the record as saying I don't like this schedule. So
yeah, I'm not keen on it. I mean, I will certainly give it time and to sort of let that gestate, but it's definitely a weird time. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm with Amy. We do not have Disney XD, and so I've been, I purchased the season through, again, an electronic medium, and so I'm usually late on that. And so I'm wondering how this affects me, because my assumption, and that's probably where I go wrong all the time, is with that. But my assumption is the 12:30 a.m. That's like a Sunday night. Is that? Am
that's
I
right.
probably reading that right?
No,
so,
I think that's right.
So then I'm really looking at traditionally. I've been able to watch Rebels. I think about 12 to 24 hours after. So that means, I'll be watching it Tuesday night, and some people have seen it, early in the morning, Monday morning. And that's a lot. That's going to be really hard. I completely agree with everybody else. I mean, maybe this is going to work out okay. And sometimes I wonder if these releases are so that some of those electronic season passes will work earlier. Like, I wonder, 12:30 a.m. release means that I would be able to receive it, at noon on Monday instead of having to wait till Tuesday. I mean, if that's the case, I mean, it's selfishly, but I'm all for it. But it's going to take some getting used to and some a different way of looking at social media for me as well, because I want to avoid those spoilers as well.
Yeah, that's the thing. If you want to avoid them and you're not, up at that hour, then you're going to have to stay off of social media until you actually see it. And I mean, for some people, that's one of the ways that they embrace their Star Wars fandom and jump into this community. I'm certainly one of those people. So that's going to be really tricky. I'm sure that people will be gracious and try to avoid spoilers, but it also kind of makes it hard. You know, when is it okay to talk about it? And that's why we have the awesome Aaron Harrison Rebels reactions, and we'll certainly be breaking them down then. And I'm quite confident that everyone on the show now will be a guest during this incredible season. But I definitely a mixed to semi disappointed reaction. But we will see.
Well, moving on. This week, a new show for Disney Digital Network and Lucas aired on Facebook, Science and Star Wars, starring Anthony Carboni, who you will know from the Emmy-nominated Star Wars show and sponsored by IBM, hit the air with guest Taylor Gray, who is the voice of Ezra from Star Wars Rebels. The focus of the show is to investigate how close we are with technology between Star Wars and reality. And what better way to start the investigation than with a lightsaber? While they will admit that we aren't quite there with the lightsaber, Gray and Carboni worked with a thermic lance to cut through a steel door, as they often did in the prequel Clone Wars era. Mickey Capifari, Lucasfilm's senior director of programming and executive producer of Science and Star Wars, says they hope to inform and inspire kids to participate in more STEM learning. STEM, by the way, is an educational acronym for science, technology, engineering, and math. Other guests to join Carboni on this 10-episode run include Anthony Daniels, Star Wars Battlefront 2 stars Janina Gavankar, that's not going to be the first time that's going to trip me up, and prequel-era Boba Fett Daniel Logan. Carboni says that it's fun to give some guests the tools that their characters actually use, like Taylor Gray and the lightsaber. Anthony Daniels will talk with a real AI robot, and Janina Gavankar gets to use a blaster, which Carboni notes her marksmanship was perfect.
Well, this have any of you gotten to see the first episode?
I have, Dan.
And what'd you think?
And it was, I thought it was so much fun. I love science. I'm not a scientist, but I loved it, and they were having so much fun with the lightsaber, and it was really cute to watch Taylor Gray's face as he got to cut through that double steel door just like Qui-Gon Jinn. But no, I encourage everybody to watch, and the nice thing is, too, I mean, I think this was somewhere between 4 and 5 minutes long, the whole episode, and, you know, so you sit down, you watch it, it doesn't take up a lot of time, and they talk to real honest-to-goodness scientists who work in some of these fields, and I think it would be great to encourage lots of boys and girls to what they might be able to do.
That's why I love it, the educational aspects of this and the promise that it has is really, really, really cool. I was talking to the local museum here a few weeks ago, and I was telling them about this show, and they were so excited by the prospect of combining such a popular thing like Star Wars with education, which is always something that we are excited to talk about on Coffee with Kenobi. So very, very fun.
I encourage everybody, if you guys haven't seen it, I encourage you to catch it. So
I haven't seen it yet, but I'm really excited to watch it with my kids.
They're going to love it.
Between Star Wars and science, that's not something I naturally make. So this is like, I'm excited that this is available to help supplement what I would normally talk with them about with Star Wars.
Cool.
Yeah. And Dan, you know.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, Dan, you know that I often include my children in Star Wars. And so I sat down tonight with my 10-year-old and we watched it together for the first time. And while she was wowed and amazed at that, and she couldn't believe that something could cut through a large piece of steel as they did. But I have to say my favorite part was my wife came in and said, "Are you guys goofing around with Star Wars again?" And I said, "No, we are exploring science right now. Thank you very much."
All right.
Point for Dad.
So we go from some really wonderful news to some really, really sad news.
Yeah, Dan, as we've discussed so many times on this segment, that toys have been a large part of the Star Wars story since 1977 with Kenner and then, of course, now Hasbro. And so I bring you a story from the business world. In a news release from toy seller Toys R Us this week, the company and certain subsidiaries have voluntarily filed for relief Chapter 11 of bankruptcy code with the U.S. Bankruptcy Court. This restructuring plan will allow financial freedom to reinvest in the business, improve customer experience in both the physical store as well as online. They hope that this opportunity will help them to put the company in a more competitive position in a challenging and rapidly changing retail marketplace. It appears that we as consumers will not be affected too much by this announcement that according to the release of the 1,600 U.S. stores, which they report mostly as being profitable, they will all remain open. Also, customers can continue to shop the newly designed website for Toys R Us and Babies R Us. And customers should also expect the company's loyalty programs, including its Rewards R Us, Jeffrey's Birthday List, and Babies R Us registry to continue as normal. Now, I don't know about all of you, but as a child, between Toys R Us and the now defunct KB Toys, most of my Kenner figures and ships came from one of those two stores. And in fact, I took a trip into our storeroom this evening in our house here to where my Star Wars toys live. And as I thought, my Empire Strikes Back Millennium Falcon does still have a Toys R Us price tag on it. And Dan, Toys R Us, of course, is one of our favorite Force Friday locations.
That's right. Well, it's good to know that the stores will still be around, the brick and mortar stores as well as the website. And I'm glad they're revamping it because I think that it's time for that. I think it could use a bit of an update. This is really crazy, a little unfortunate, but we hope it'll lead to better things for them because it seems like every time I'm there, they're always very crowded and they always have great exclusives and things like that.
I'm hoping that nobody loses their jobs. That's kind of what I was thinking
about. Exactly. That's exactly right. So the fact that the stores will still be open is a huge blessing because we don't want anyone to lose their jobs. That's for sure.
Yeah.
A lot of people work really, really hard to put smiles on kids' faces and feed their families in the process. And we certainly wish them nothing but the best. Tom, thank you again for bringing us the news. We're going to go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk with Nick Deco about the Battlefront 2 beta. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Coffee, tea, or me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. It's Coffee with Kenobi.
Coffee with Kenobi is also sponsored by the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps. If you love Star Wars and love the excitement of chasing your favorite Star Wars collectibles, the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps is for you. Download the free app from iTunes or Google Play. From the classic 1977 Star Wars cards to the Clone Wars, Star Wars Rebels, The Force Awakens, Rogue One, and much more. Collect and trade with friends new and old through the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps. These are the cards you're looking for. Coffee chat time, and we have the awesome Nick Deco with us, and he's going to let us know about the Star Wars Battlefront 2 beta. Nick, how's it going?
It's going good, Dan. Thanks for having me on again. I appreciate it.
Of course. What's going on with the beta?
So lots of stuff has happened in the past month or so in the world of Star Wars video games. Most notably, we have a release date for Star Wars Battlefront Beta, which will happen October 6th for the public. But for those of us, like myself, that pre-ordered the game, it will go out live October 4th. And so if you pre-ordered it, you'll get a chance to play for 5 days from October 4th to the 9th. And if you're just wanted to see what it is before you purchase the whole full game, it's going to be live for everybody from October 6th to 9th, and you'll get a chance to play. If anybody's watched the video from the release of Battlefront 2 to the public, you'll get to play in Naboo either as the clones or as battle droids, and you'll actually get to test out the new Starfighter Assault mode that has still been pretty tight. Least sealed for the past couple of months. So a bunch of new things that are coming out and to be excited about just a few weeks away from today.
That's awesome. Have you have a lot of experience with betas in the past? I know our kids, whenever there are betas for like Madden or the new NBA games, they're all over that. And it's cool that you get to play them early as well. Have you experienced some of this?
Oh, yeah, definitely. A few times in the past, I've been lucky enough to just kind of actually be a part of some betas for games that are coming out, but also had a chance to be a part of the I don't know if it would be called alpha or even pre-alpha, but for games that were in design that actually never came to light because they just didn't pan out. Most recently, I can't think of the game's name. It was a Star Wars game. It was based for the PC, and it was entirely around starfighter battles. So you either were a TIE fighter or an X-Wing. Very much like going back to the early roots of Star Wars games. But that was actually my first disappointment in actually being part of something that was either alpha or pre-alpha that actually never came to fruition. So this is actually a little different because we do know if this game is being made and that we're just kind of working up the bugs and giving feedback and being able to get it hands-on and just whet your appetite more for what's coming down the pipeline, and which would be only, I think, 6 weeks later or so. I think the game is released November 17th. So
right.
A little more than a month later, the full game will be out to everybody. So this is a good way for EA to market it, to get people hyped up, and also to maybe plug some Last Jedi stuff in.
Which I'm sure there's a big part of that. And so it also means that people who get to the beta, by the time the actual game comes out, they're going to be a bit ahead of the curve when it comes to playing online.
Wisdom would say that, but
it's more of an age thing.
I would say maybe more of an age thing. Yeah, still, regardless. I don't think if I still play the full 5 days and stop working, I'll be any better than somebody half my age who picks it up day one and That's knows true. What they're doing still faster yeah. than me.
18-year-old Dan Z would be so great, and that 44-year-old Dan Z just doesn't have a prayer.
it's honesty. We admit that, so it's okay.
That's right, exactly. And I know you saw it because you commented on Twitter, but how did you like that StarWars.com video game article?
Oh, that was fantastic. That was really funny. It came out just a week or so, or maybe when last time we had the chat, we talked about the retro games and all of our favorite parts from these older games that came out. And then just, I enjoyed it a lot because it just kind of showed that everybody has been, touched in some way by playing a Star Wars video game and how it's kind of shaped their worldview of the Star Wars community that they embody and that they live through in other means, books or comics or the movies. And so that was great. And there was so many different takes too. And I did see somebody give a shout out to the Rogue Squadron game. That's my favorite. So I felt vindicated. It's like, yes, somebody else remembers this game.
I was going to ask you which one, if you were to contribute to that article, what would you have talked about?
I would have talked about a game that wasn't mentioned, which was called X-Wing Alliance. And
I love that game.
What's that?
Oh, we used to play that here at home.
Oh yeah, that was great, yeah. Awesome. So another yes, two of us did. I guess I don't know. and I just because of a storyline behind it, and how you got to play as. I'm not sure if this is correct or not, because I haven't watched the Maker Adventures. I haven't. So I don't know what the storyline is there. But it seems like that might kind of coincide a little bit with X-Wing Alliance, in which you're part of a family. You're not necessarily involved in this war, and you kind of get dragged into it one way or the other. And that I feel like that's what I've seen just through commercials. But then again, I don't know what's going on half the time when I'm watching television. So, but that was my favorite part of X-Wing Alliance, was the storyline of being a family and then being, like you would imagine, most folks being called to duty, called to action for the greater good. And then also collecting a bunch of cool trophies or collectibles every time you went on a mission, because that was what you still did when, you were playing video games and collecting all the Episode One stuff that you could possibly can.
That's right. That's right. Amy, are you much of a Star Wars gamer?
I'm not a gamer at all. I just have abysmal motor skills to the point where it's just not even fun. So I like the story part of it. And I enjoy watching other people play. And sure. I really, really enjoyed Inferno Squad. And so I was kind of like testing my husband out, saying maybe he should get the game, or I might just watch like some people on YouTube play. But you guys talk about how you would be annihilated quickly. Like I wouldn't even begin. So trust me, maybe you should give me the game and then you could feel really good about yourselves instead of all these young kids that you're going up against.
Well, so you said you're not your motor skills, so you're not allowed to operate heavy machinery. Is that what you're saying?
I drive a car, but that's it.
Okay.
I drive a car.
This article was fun. It was fun to do. I chose the classic Atari Star Wars video game that was actually in arcades because I just remember I had so many fond memories of, you know, flying the TIE fighter and blowing up the Death Star. And that's, I mean, there are a lot of great memories of video games, but that one's really fun. When I was at Rancho Obi-Wan for the first time, my number one goal, besides seeing Steve, of course, was playing that game there at Rancho Obi-Wan, because I thought I could blow up the Death Star at Rancho Obi-Wan. That just seems like the coolest thing ever. So that was that. I just have a lot of fun memories of that game.
That's pretty spectacular. Yeah, it's and Amy, actually, I would love to play with you in Battlefront, because that's, you would be my kind of people. We would just kind of walk around and look at, like, we would just actually look at the scenery and be like, how amazing is this? And look,
yeah,
at
I would literally just be like, Naboo, that's
exactly.
So pretty.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, listen to the music.
Yep. Right up my alley. So we'll get you the game. We'll have our own little deal. Just
there
for.
We go.
We'll have like a little tour section of like Battlefront 2 tours and 101 or something.
I like it. I like it.
Sounds good.
Tours start 2 p.m. every day.
Yeah. Is there any discernible difference between the PS4 version and the Xbox version? Are they pretty much right on the money?
Well, graphic wise, I'm the worst person to ask that question because I don't keep up with that as much as I used to. But gameplay wise, I think everything's gonna be exactly the same. So that's why EA has only gone with your more high quality gaming platforms like Xbox and PlayStation. It's because they can do the exact same stuff over both systems and the PC without losing any of the quality of the gaming, but also have them interact the same way if you decide if you want to just play Xbox or just the PlayStation. You weren't missing something out. That's why Nintendo hasn't had a Star Wars game that has been a shooter in a long, long time. So,
well, good point, because people ask me that, which system should I get, and I never really know how to answer it other than the fact that I know the PS4 has an excellent Blu-ray player that's a part of it, but other than that, I never really know where to steer them.
I just tell them, would you rather mash buttons that have letters or symbols, and then just go from there. So,
oh, that's good. That's good. Anything else going on in the world of video games that you wanted to discuss?
Yeah, sure. Actually, a few things to note for folks that are playing stuff on the mobile devices that have been waiting for something in between last year's, or I guess 2 years ago's Battlefront and this year's Battlefront. The one game that you tagged me on Twitter, Dan, there's a new game coming out, Rise to Power, which is going to be a strategy game sometime maybe next year, which looks really intriguing. That pits you as a player as the Empire or part of the New Republic against each other, against other people around the world. So that looks interesting, and so I look forward to kind of diving more into that as it comes around. But of note, two games that are currently on mobile devices for Android and for the iPhone have some amazing updates to it that if folks are playing or haven't checked out yet should. Also with Galaxy of Heroes, really quick, that have added what's called territory battles, in which you are working together as a team with your guild mates to go across the landscapes, famous landscapes in Star Wars. Notably, this one has been Hoth, to defeat the Empire and push the Empire back. And so that's been really fun. There's other characters you can unlock. There is Princess Leia from Hoth. There is Han Solo from Hoth and Luke Skywalker from Empire Strikes Back. There's new playable characters. This afternoon, the game also updated itself. For those of you that are playing the game, you can now get BB-8, who has not been in the game. That's been 2 years old. So that character is finally available now as well, which probably should be the first thing we see for leading up to the Last Jedi characters that should be coming out for that game. And so that's really exciting to know that it's September, but EA is looking at, all right, it's time to start getting this marketable stuff going. It's time to really gear up the Last Jedi characters. And so that's always a fun thing to look forward to as we rush towards December. And lastly, a game that I used to play before I had all these children get me sick on a regular basis was Star Wars Force Arena. And they've dumped a ton of Legends characters and canon characters into this game that didn't exist a month or so ago. And I have to say, most notably, my favorite that I saw came out by still playing the game, I would go straight after, is Queen Padme Amidala. And so, or I guess Senator Padme in this version, from Attack of the Clones. That right there was like, finally, a Star Wars video game has come out with a Padme playable character, and I'm not playing the game anymore. So if you are ironic. Playing for Serena, yeah, quite ironic. Check it out. There's a bunch of new characters in there. Or if you're looking for something new to play, it's a fun game, and they have a lot of folks that you don't see in other places.
Well, thank you. There's definitely some things going on that I had no idea about, which is one of the many reasons we have you back on the show. Where can people reach out and chat with you if they want to ask you a question or just say hello?
Sure, yeah. As always, you can find me on Twitter at Nick Deco. I'm on there at all times a day as I'm up late with sick kids. So it's a pleasure.
Well, definitely go get some chicken noodle soup and some rest, and we will talk to you next month.
Sounds great, Dan. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you soon.
Take care and get better.
Bye. Thanks.
We'll go ahead and take our last break. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Listening to Coffee with Kenobi, you are the podcast you're looking for. This is...
I want to thank our CWK sponsor, the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps. Please support them the way they support our podcast. And remember to listen to new and archived shows of Coffee with Kenobi wherever you listen to podcasts, including iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, Player FM, our website, www.coffeewithkenobi.com, or wherever you enjoy listening to your favorite shows. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. We are also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, Tumblr, and we'd love for you to check us out there. And while you're at it, be sure to listen to our CWK family of shows too, including Legends Library, Rebels Reactions, Comics with Kenobi, and Lattes with Leia. A big thank you to Melinda Wolf and Amy Nalen for being on the show and having some coffee with us. Where can listeners get in touch with both of you if they want to ask you a question or just say hello?
I can be found on Twitter at Amy Wishman, W-I-S-H-M-A-N, and you can find my review for Leia Princess of Alderaan at coffeewithkenobi.com, and I also blog at unmistakablystarwars.com, and I contribute on a monthly basis to their main show, and I host a monthly in-depth character discussion and analysis with my friend Carl Hassler called The Force Discourse, and that's also on the Unmistakably Star Wars feed.
Yeah, so definitely be sure to check that out. We will have links to that in the show notes. And Amy, it really was nice to have you on. And since listeners obviously are going to love hearing you, they definitely should check out your shows as well.
Well, thank you for having me. It was really, really fun.
And, of course, Melinda, we love reading about all the great musings you have. But where can people get in touch with you?
The best place is, Dan, just at coffeewithkenobi.com. And my email through you guys is melindaw@coffeewithkenobi.com. And that's the best place.
And absolutely.
I'm one of those people that just has one or two links out there, so...
But they're great, and your blogs are always thought-provoking and great reads, so we love reading them.
Well, I love writing them, so.
Perfect. So we're going to thanks to each and every one of you for listening to and supporting Coffee with Kenobi and for contributing to Star Wars Conversation. We will be back next week with two new co-hosts and more Star Wars talk. This is the podcast you're looking for.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for. There's no one here. Move along.